shorts in the bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood has made 100 bad movies. We have made fun of 100 bad movies.
Mm-hmm. I made fun of 50, by the way.
I think you're rounding like up a little bit.
No, this is my 50.
That's a very aggressive rounding.
No, I count it as 50.
You've only done 50.
Oh, okay.
This is 50.
Oh, exciting.
Wow. I'm half
right.
Behind.
This is our 100th episode spectacular. I'm Alex Dunbar. We are joined by the entire Stop the Movie
Hello.
Group. I'm here with For Jack Estabrook.
Where's the Mariners score, huh?
Cody Wolf.
No sex now, I'm working.
Andy Wolf.
I'll be back.
Okay.
No, right?
Will you be back? Will you be back?
We were on a string of odd catchphrases. And Brian Mueller.
Yeah, that really killed the momentum.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
This always happens to me.
Yeah.
Should have done me last.
Yeah. So
she said.
It's like you're.
But why
you can't set up your
it's
own.
Like, it's like I'm a comedian that like has a really bad opening act, and I come out and I'm just like,
oh, nice.
That's when you had to kill, Brian.
It was actually comedy I was doing. So I was doing comedy.
Yeah. Wait, what was
leading into you?
Oh, what was the comedy?
I'll be back. It was a catchphrase, but not
from anything we've ever done.
Yeah, like their best comedy. It does better with explanation.
That was like a Norm Macdonald playing Burt Reynolds delivery. I'll be back. It's a catchphrase from a movie.
Take two.
Let's
start this over.
It's funny. Comedy. Trust me.
Big hat.
All right. So for our 100th episode, Cody Wolf suggested it. He was absolutely correct.
Thanks a lot, Cody.
Special movie and a legendary bad movie.
According to the DVD box, it says one of the most talked about movies of all time.
Is it from 1987, Jack?
It's from 1986.
1986 is Howard 86. The Duck.
And it's rated PG, right?
It is.
Well, that's PG.
Shockingly.
We will talk about that. I was surprised
by
that,
too. PG-13.
Yeah. Okay, so and just as a tease, what's going to come forward after we talk about the movie, we're going to kind of recap some of our favorite moments.
We're having a test.
100. Yes, it's a test.
Put a pressure on me.
It's a short answer test on the best
especially like
episodes.
Especially like how you expect him to name his favorite episode because he hasn't listened to any of them.
I know. Well,
I don't listen to them. I lived them.
We really should
have. I lived 50 of them now.
We should have polled your family.
You've lived a lot of things that you don't remember, though. So
that is true.
That's a good point.
I had to look at the list, and I'm like, oh, I don't remember doing that one. I did.
You probably did.
You may or may not have been there. Yeah. All right, so we'll start with Howard the Duck. We start off with a humanized duck living on his planet with more gags than your typical, an entire season of the Flintstones. About things that we would have on Earth,
like Raiders of the Lost Egg. There's like a Indiana Jones poster with a duck on it.
There were some that weren't even really good puns.
They were pretty bad. Duck stuff, like, what was the Playboy? It was like just Playbill, or
I think it was Play Duck.
I think it was Play Duck. Or yeah. Playbill would have been funnier.
There was like a rolling egg, like Rolling Stone,
rolling egg
magazine or something.
Yeah, it was really. What were they trying to say that this is? The alternate universe that's exactly like ours.
But like, these things aren't even really, like, it's not like we have, like rolling egg for Rolling Stone. It's not like in our universe it's, like, rolling baby. Like, some of them don't even make sense. So, yeah. So in their universe, they're also fascinated by puns about their own race. I don't even understand. Yeah. So that goes on. And we get some... Right off the bat, Howard the Duck starts getting pulled out of his apartment.
He's sitting watching TV, and then all of a sudden,
and then he's looking
like
at
the earth,
and then
quakes.
We get to see some naked duck action in the centerfold of Play Duck.
I should say too,
he's
looking at a Play Duck magazine.
Yep.
And then it like cuts to a shot of the end table, and it's like shaking. And I thought I did too.
I was really nervous.
Where are we going with this?
Ducks really violently pleasure themselves.
It turns out just the whole world is shaking, and he starts being sucked out of his apartment by some unknown
force. Is the whole world shaking, or is just his apartment
just his
shaking?
Apartment.
I think it's just him.
Okay.
And then he flies.
And luckily, this was focused right into his chair.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a pinpoint precise
vortex,
and he gets sucked through the walls. And we get to see a topless female duck with duck boobs in a bathtub.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's kind of weird, wasn't it?
It was weird and inappropriate for a film that was
like you didn't watch that over and over again.
I didn't because I'm not into
that's
ducks.
That's perfect nipple placement.
I'm not ducks.
I think I saw
some good nipple placement.
I think I saw some play ducks in Andy's apartment one time. Stacked in the corner, a little inconspicuous, but they were there.
And so he gets pulled into a wormhole. We then go to voiceover, the only voiceover in the film. It never comes back.
It's Richard Kiley, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it is.
Oh, maybe.
I recognized his voice straight up.
Explaining the concept of alternate realities.
Did anyone else think like Interstellar during this?
I was thinking about Interstellar.
I was too.
You were not.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't
see this was like a prequel to Interstellar.
So. Spoiler, also, Howard the Duck's journey makes more sense than anything you'll see in Interstellar. Seems to be more motivated.
I should point out, too, that the movie doesn't start with a shot of Earth, but the first time you see Earth, it's a shot of Earth from space.
Yep. Well, I was actually thinking that. I was like, wow, shockingly, we don't see a space shot. And then, you do. There it is, 2 minutes later.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like they had that voiceover had to been a post-production, like studio notes ad, where someone was like, I don't think people are getting what's going on here. We should explain. So just for that one stretch, they cram some voiceover in. And the voiceover ends with like the guy being like,
Howard the Duck.
For Howard the Duck. And I'm like, what kind of voiceover is that?
And you get this triumphant music.
Like, did they then feel they had to work the title in?
Yeah. Oh, and but to go back, this is based on
comic book.
A comic book, right?
Yes, okay. It is.
Oh, no. Okay.
First Marvel movie.
This is the first Marvel Universe movie.
Yep. It's based on a comic book.
This is based on a...
What's that, Andy?
Apparently, it's poorly based. It's a poor adaptation from what I've been able to research.
Here comes the House of the Dead defense here.
Yes. This is based on a not very popular comic book, and it's really more of a character who showed up in comic books and didn't really have his own
comic book.
Plus,
I think they totally changed the comic book.
I'm sure they
did. Like, it's a lot more soft than what the comic book was, I think.
And like, this is a story... Like,
but conceptually... Duck from another planet, sucked in here. Well, okay.
Oh, same old
You gotta
story.
Let it go. You gotta let it go a little. You gotta let the concept
been
go
seen
a little
it a million
bit
times.
Because it's a comic book movie.
Well, yeah, but in its execution, it wasn't well done.
No, I know.
Just all of a sudden, there's a red
conceptually,
light.
Conceptually,
like flies through space.
Duck comes from another universe like ours, and that's pretty stupid.
But he doesn't get from another universe.
Oh, it's a comic book.
He doesn't get from any universe. He actually just comes from another planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it another reality? Or no, maybe you're right.
No, I think because the voiceover says like there's. All these planets in the universe.
To the voiceover, explain everything.
Yeah, possibility.
I guess I got confused by it.
We should have a voiceover for this podcast.
The voiceover made it worse.
We should record a second podcast.
Howard the Duck lands in Cleveland. We know that because every shot from the next six shots has something in it that says Cleveland.
Apparently, people are constantly forgetting where they are. Where are we again? Oh, yeah.
Just like boxes, like everything says Cleveland.
And this was shot in like 2002 or something like that?
I wish. No.
No, it was 86. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
By the
choices
and the the clothes and
yeah. Or we then get because Leah Thompson is a.
I love street thugs and all these movies. Street thugs always look the same.
Oh yeah,
in the 80s movies they always look the same.
Did you see the name of the biker gang? Do you see what their jackets said?
I did.
Oh, I can't. Satan's sluts.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Seems
that's,
like
that's not easy.
Well, because what happens is that Howard the Duck immediately arrives on Earth and he is literally like bounced around like a ping pong ball between random biker gangs on the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Intercut with Leah Thompson playing in some generic 80s hair metal band.
I would say metal.
Well, Andy, you were into music
low
in the 80s.
Low end of metal.
Like Leah Thompson's band.
That's 80s metal, by the way.
That's not metal. That was not 80s
metal.
Well,
this is what I wanted to ask
this
you.
This is your metal.
It was close, but
I couldn't.
That's my metal.
This
don't
is,
ever say
this is poison.
Your metal.
It's the world's metal.
Poison with chicks.
I couldn't make sense of this. So the club Leah Thompson is playing in appeared to me to be a punk club, right? I mean, it had the metal fence.
Either
separating.
Or a chicken coop. I'm not sure which it was.
Well, or a chicken. But this was like, you used to see this sometimes in the 80s where there'd be the metal fence separating a punk band from the audience because things would get so crazy and out of control.
Right, yeah.
But she is not a punk band.
No.
I don't think anyone's clamoring.
Sounds like at one point in this movie, no one's even paying attention to the band.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like a Prince sounding type of band. It's like
it's borderline adult contemporary.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Later on, she's singing a song. It's like, this is boring. It's like, yeah, no shit.
She just stops. She stops. Yeah. Says, this is boring.
Yeah.
I dream of Brian.
That's Sting.
Yeah. So she gets out of her set. Because it's the 80s and we're in a city, immediately muggers
right to the alley.
Yeah, but she's supposed to be a famous rock star. Why is she walking alone?
She's famous, though, really.
She's trying to become famous.
She talks about her career is dying. Probably because she walks off the stage in the middle of
and calls her own songs as boring. I want Holly Robinson Pete to be like, hey, we're doing our best.
I had no idea the Cleveland nightlife was so dangerous, by the way. Like, Satan sluts are patrolling the streets, and people are getting mugged constantly.
And these two guys then attempt to rape Leah Thompson.
I guess, right?
Again, we're in a
I have no reason to believe otherwise.
It might be aimed at kids. We can debate that later. Right. But I don't want to rape Leah Thompson.
Hey, we just want to talk with you.
Yeah. And she is saved by a kung fu duck.
No, not a quack fu duck.
Quack fu duck.
I'm an expert of quack fu.
Because everything on their planet starts with quack.
Everything. I got them to planet quack. Pun.
Howard the Duck, Howard the Duck is sitting in a trash can, and he has to work up his ire to get out of the trash can and rescue Leah Thompson.
Oh, and let's talk about
because he's just kind of sitting in the can like,
He seems to have been in this trash can for a good amount of time, potentially
couple
hours.
Sets. Yeah, a couple sets, it seems. Yeah.
So we'll come back to that in a minute when he's hesitant to do something, but... and here's my other problem in the movie. Some people in this movie are shocked to see a duck wearing clothes, talking, and doing kung fu.
Yeah.
Other people, not surprised at all.
Just walking by.
Just it's an everyday experience for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is Cleveland.
It is. I guess I couldn't make sense of what the movie wanted people's reaction. Like, are we supposed to be like, this is, people are shocked to see a duck walking around? Or are people like, hey, look, it's a duck. I don't, the varying from, when he's on a bus at one point, the whole bus freaks out, but only as he gets off the bus. Yeah, they were all cool with it when he was riding on the bus.
That makes no sense.
Okay, so she also, Leah Thompson doesn't seem very surprised at all.
She's pretty cool with it too.
She's like, okay, hey, talking duck, save it from getting raped.
She takes pity on the duck. She tells him where. This planet, Cleveland. So we get that little joke, like the Planet Houston joke from Superman 2.
Yeah.
Immediate connection. Love at first sight type of story.
Yeah.
Well, like wouldn't you fall in love with an anthropomorphic duck?
I don't know. If I saw that tiny little condom, I might be like, oh,
I'm going to think that over. I forgot about that one.
That was super weird.
Pretty small.
He's an open condom.
Yeah.
In his wallet.
Yeah. I know. That was the most disturbing part. So, Leah Thompson takes...
Was it used or...
I don't know.
I doesn't want to unroll them.
Leah Thompson takes Howard the Duck back to her apartment.
Just rinse it out under the sink. It's good to go. Just rinse it out under the sink.
It's
good to go.
It's fine. She takes Howard the Duck back to her apartment, which Howard the Duck is very critical of. And I'm like, geez, for a guy who's living in a garbage can 5 minutes earlier, like, hey, it's not the I. Frankenstein apartment, but it's not that bad, you know? Jeez. And this is this point where I start having notes. Is this movie, here's a basic question. Is this a comedy?
Is this entertaining?
No, that's a clear answer to that question. What genre is this movie trying to be?
I have no idea. It's not a superhero, really.
Nope.
And it's not science fiction. It's kind of sort of science fiction.
It would have been a kid's movie if they had taken out eight scenes.
Yeah, I'm thinking softcore porn, maybe. Skin and mask.
Duck porn.
If they took that out.
It's not really a comedy because there's not a lot of jokes.
That's really funny.
There's a lot of gags, but not a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what's going on with that.
It's like E.T. with a talking duck for more adults.
Right.
But some children.
And this is, as you referenced, Howard the Duck falls asleep adorably on her windowsill, and she goes through Howard the Duck's wallet. Again, she's totally unfazed by, like, that there's pictures of ducks in there. Like, again, more gags. Like, his credit card is some kind of, like, duck-related gag or something.
There's a George Washington with a duck bill on the dollar bill.
Duck, I'm like, my God, like, this is terrible. And then she pulls out, and they actually go to a close-up of it. This is a cutaway of a tiny little condom pulled out. And she's like, oh, Howard. Like, ew.
And it's unwrapped.
Ew!
It's on red.
Don't you have to
imagine, like, you're watching this when you're 7 year old, and she's like, "Mommy, what's that?" And you got, you know.
Yeah,
I did watch this when I was 7 years old.
Don't you feel like the prop department was supposed to make a condom that was somehow going to be another duck-related gag, and at some point they were like, "That's too far.
Yeah,
that's too much. You know, too much."
I just, like, was he expecting to have sex with Caroline in the city that night?
I don't know. God knows how long it was in.
Because why else would he unwrap it?
He's just getting it ready.
Why would you unwrap it?
Right. I don't know.
Maybe on Duck World, that's how you do
you
it.
You don't need wrappers in Duck World?
Maybe it's good to go. You know, he just rinses out under the sink. It's good to go.
I almost rewound it and wanted to watch Leah Thompson's reaction again, though, when she's just like, oh, how? I'm like, this is disturbing.
It was like
this
a sitcom
reaction.
Troubling. Yeah, it wasn't like, oh.
Yeah. So we then cut to... She brings Howard the Duck to her to a science lab.
In a bag. She's, like, dragging him in a sack.
Like a plastic trash bag with, like, holes in it.
They're like in a cab, and she's talking to the bag.
Yeah.
And the cabbie's like, what? And she's like, just keep driving.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And we go to meet...
I don't know either, Jack.
What?
We go to meet crazy Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins is in this movie.
What the hell?
I don't know. Tim Robbins,
a scientist, but he's not. He's actually the lab assistant.
He's like the night manager.
He calls himself the lab assistant, but he's basically like a janitor.
I guess he is another person who seems to be playing two different parts in this movie. What was the other movie we played where
I thought he was going to turn into
shifted?
Oh, Stanley Tucci in Transformers.
Stanley Tucci.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to become the bad guy at one point.
I did too.
Like, because he wanted him so badly to stay on Earth, and when they were like and trying to send him back, I thought he was going to sabotage it all.
And
too.
Tim Robbins wants to exploit Howard the Duck. Like, right.
We're going
to
be famous.
And
but they just
that goes nowhere. And then at a point later on in the movie, Tim Robbins just essentially becomes a different character who's very well put together, organized, yeah. and basically
heroic.
Is the one who really saves the day.
Right.
So I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Well, so he's got an arc.
I can't.
It's a really quick arc.
It's a really quick arc.
And you don't see... What kind of
you
accelerates
you're stupid,
the arc?
You're stupid, you're smart.
Right. You're actually.
And then you're stupid for a little bit.
You're the one leading this movie. You're dubious,
you're heroic.
Yeah. So.
Because he's like stealing Howard's feathers, and he's like, I'll take this to the lab. I'm going to be rich and famous. We're going to write a journal about you. The whole world is going to know my theories about him.
This is my ticket to the top, which never goes anywhere.
He ends up working for a rock band in the end.
Yeah, he's like a stage manager for a rock band.
That only has one lyric in their song.
He was so annoyed in this movie. Like, I know that the script doesn't really offer anyone much of a chance to shine, but I thought he did a particularly terrible job.
And that's Tim Robbins,
like, he could have been better.
I think he knew what movie he was in, though.
Yeah, but it was...
I feel like he was being directed by one director... And Leah Thompson was working with another director.
I feel like he was being directed by the same director who was directing Jeffrey Jones later on.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the person who did all of the voice performance for Howard the Duck had a third director who was not talking to any of the other directors. Because that that part seems totally out of touch with the rest of the
movie.
What's
that?
Just the wisecracking, like...
Howard the Duck?
Yeah.
Well, you have the goofy elements, the heartwarming elements, then you have the heroic elements. And it's like three movies glued together.
Very unlikable... main character is like,
she's just like a city girl trying to make her way as a rock
star. Throw him in the pot and boil him, I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the duck?
Yeah. Blah.
Yeah,
I do love duck.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite meat.
See?
It's good. It's good.
It is.
Maybe we should cook Howard the Duck.
So he gets...
Like those guys did, they randomly attacked him in the diner.
That's what I'm saying. If they tell him, go ahead.
Like, they didn't even know it was... They could have, for all they knew, it could have been a guy...
It was duck hunting season, so...
It would've been great if that was the end of the movie.
Yeah, this movie hates duck hunters, too.
Saved myself like 40 minutes and...
If it just ended right there and they cooked him? Yeah.
Not bad.
So Howard the Duck gets in an argument with... Or gets in an argument with Tim Robbins and leaves the science lab.
You're crazy, buddy!
And then gets in an argument with Leah Thompson right outside the science lab and tells her, like, he doesn't want to hang around her anymore. At which point I'm like, well, dude, what else are you doing? You have nothing else going on.
Here comes my favorite part of the movie.
And...
He decides to get a job.
Well, realistic note, he goes to the unemployment office.
The woman at the unemployment office is like, you're not going to dress like a crazy person to try to get out of work in my shift.
Yeah.
Does Howard have a ass fetish here?
I think
he's
he does.
Checking out her ass.
Well,
and
he was going to bite it. He was going to bite it.
Shouldn't he find humans unattractive, right?
But was it her butt, or was it that there was a floral print on her dress?
No, I think it was her butt.
It was, butt.
It was just the butt,
big
right?
Booty. He saw a big booty. He was going for it.
Okay. That was pretty
weird.
You ever
see duck sex? That's what they do.
They just bite each other's asses?
Yeah, they bite each other's asses. You ever seen duck sex? No?
I'm not
Do they wear little condoms?
Yeah, they go. I'm not going to try. I don't know.
Well, when they do.
You're about to mime
they're
something.
They're about to mime something.
They're on Ratchet Advance.
They show a duck trying to, like, rip the label with its wings.
In duck culture. Maybe that's the why they're already pretty unwrapped.
They have to have somebody unwrap them for them.
With their wings.
So he does get a job at, as things would be, a brothel?
A massage
It's like a bathhouse.
A brothel?
Yeah,
it's like a bathhouse for sex. It's
I think
bizarre.
It's a quackle.
I think it may be a whorehouse.
It's a quackle. That didn't work.
Quack brothel. I don't think that worked. Yeah.
A quack house?
Like, this was really disturbing.
That sounds more like a crack
That's
house.
That's more like a crack house.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, see, that would work.
It's a quack.
That's
a
good
a quack
one.
Sex house.
But like, how disturbing was this? If you had kids and you're trying to explain
know,
to them the concept of basically, like, this is like Studio 54 or
you
something.
Just got done explaining,
you know?
You just got done explaining the condom. Now you got to explain the
like
bathhouse.
Wiping down the walls in a bathhouse.
And, like, orgies and, like,
cleaning out
a mud room. There's a freaking mud room in
what
there.
What was that? There's some really kinky stuff going on at this brothel. And then, so he quits his job, I think? And we get...
He throws his boss into the mud.
Because his boss throws him into one of the jacuzzis or whatever, and he's like, I can't swim. And then
he's a duck, he can't swim, of course.
It's a gag. It's funny.
Then he throws
you know
his
got
boss
that?
Into
Nobody's
the,
got that.
The mud house. Or into the mud
that
bath.
Went over my head.
Oh, because ducks swim.
Nah.
They're good in water, and he can't swim. You didn't get that one? Jeez.
Nah, that's funny.
Everything
think about it.
So he's now unemployed, walking down the street with the sad music from... Remember when Roddy Piper was unemployed? And they were, it's the same sad music.
If only he had found some sunglasses in a back alley.
Yeah.
This movie would have
and
been
everyone
a lot
looked
better.
Like ducks through his sunglasses.
This would have been a lot better movie.
And I don't know. So at some point, we cut back to Leah Thompson and her band.
Yeah, because he walks around.
He ends up in a bar.
Yeah, happens to be outside their club.
Yeah.
And then he decides to kick the crap out of their manager.
Oh, that's right. He decides to get in a fight with their manager, who we have not, it was not introduced to
I had
us.
No idea. It was
I thought they were the guys from the alley again.
That's what I thought.
I did too.
But they weren't.
Just to bring this up too, of all the movies we've done, I would be hard pressed to find one that has less plot going on. If really break this movie down, nothing happens.
Howard does get slid down a countertop a couple of times. I mean, that's.
Yeah, that was all.
Every opportunity to do the cliched. No. Yeah.
And then I think a bouncer or like a bartender gives Howard a bottle to break over. Guy said, imagine what's going on in that guy's head. Hey, here's a walking, talking duck. I guess I'll give him a bottle of alcohol.
After he breaks it over his head, they cut back to the bartender. He's like, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Name my customers.
No one else in the club seems to be really okay with this, but the bartender's loving it. This is where we first see Holly Robinson Pete. First time I noticed her, that she's in the Leah Thompson band.
Yeah.
She's, does anyone else know Holly? No? She was like a sitcom actress in the 90s.
Yeah. I saw her, I'm like, I know that face. I'm like, I can't place it. I know she's somebody.
I think she was on Hanging with
talk
Mr.
Show.
Cooper.
Did she have a talk show?
I think she was, she might have been on a talk show for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in a couple Will Smith movies.
A couple Will Smith movies?
Winter's Tale?
No.
Was she in After Earth?
After Earth?
Take a knee.
I don't know. I don't know. Will Smith movies were a genre.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
Okay. Yeah. Are you thinking of Jada Pinkett Smith?
That's it.
That's Will Smith's wife.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
And he's all out of sorts.
Let's stop there before it gets weird.
Yeah.
If only there was a website where we could look up what movies and shows actors have been in.
I'm going to invent that.
Some sort of internet database.
I'm going to invent that.
So Howard tells the band are, by the way, instantly cool with Howard. Not weirded out at all.
Oh, she told us about
check
you.
Check it out, a talking dog.
It's that great talking dog we've been hearing
about.
And
then Tim Robbins shows up. Apparently he's dating one of the members of the band, and he shows up with pizza.
Yeah, I was confused by that.
And I was like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, because she says it. Yeah.
This is the point where, like, Tim Robbins suddenly, like, looks like he kind of has his life together.
Yeah.
Where he's like... Maybe dating one of the band members.
Because he's definitely dating her. Because
pretty attractive.
In a minute... when he's like all obsessed with Howard, and she's like, "Oh, come on, baby," and he's like, "No sex now, I'm working."
Right.
Like runs away. That's right. Yeah. But before he's like, like does this weird thing with Howard the Duck, where he's like, "I'm getting one of your feathers," and Howard the Duck's like, "No, you're not." And then he pulls a feather off his butt.
It almost seems like the Tim Robbins character was like a one-scene joke character. I know somebody who can help you. Oh, my God, an alien. I'm going to show you to the world, and we're going to dissect you, and we're going to study you, and never mind. And it figured like that would be just like a one-scene character. But then he comes back in this scene, and you're like, oh, he's going to be more important to the plot. Oh, he's a nice guy. He's bringing him pizza. No, no, he's not. He wants to steal Howard's feathers, and now he's cackling into the night.
Yeah, he literally cackles like a Bond villain, like, ha-ha, I've got it. And Howard goes home.
And gives them their money. I beat up your manager, and here's your money back.
I'm your new manager.
Yep.
He's, by the way, very dice and glitter.
If only he was killed.
Then when I saw him playing the synthesizer in the next scene, I was like, I think we all know where glitter came from.
I was just hoping for those marimbas. I was just hoping for those marimbas to come out and bust out.
So Howard goes home.
Then comes one of my teenage dreams. I get to see Lee Thompson in her underwear.
She does look good.
I thought you were going to say you're
not going to.
Those little panties.
I thought you were going to say your teenage dream was to see a duck sex scene.
That's my adult. That's more adult.
Okay.
Quack, quack.
So. Okay, and
duck on human.
So basically like, DOH. like they've reconciled. Howard the Duck is going to be sleeping on the couch. He's wearing somehow he's got access.
He's not sleeping
to all
on the
this.
Couch. He's sleeping in our bed.
He's got all these little people clothes, right? Apparently he has a wardrobe on this planet.
He seems to.
So he's got these duck pajamas, and she comes out and she's scantily dressed and crawling on the bed, and she invites him onto the bed.
Right, which is not creepy at all.
And he says, okay. And he looks at her butt.
Long scene,
he looks at her butt and he says, I'm starting to like female anatomy or something like that.
Which, that's.
And this is
what's
like,
going on.
From from Leah Thompson's perspective, this is an alien creature that just made a pass at her. For all she knows, this might be some twisted sex ritual where it's going to like lay eggs in her stomach. She doesn't know, right?
It's like you go to the lake and look at the ducks in the water going, oh.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
I'm talking about that male.
Right?
Which, and then he even says to her, he goes, hey, love's strange. She can always give it a try. And right.
So then she's like into it all of a sudden, and he's like totally not into it.
What was going on?
She
here?
Invites him into the bed, and she starts coming on to him.
And she says to him, "Okay, let's go for it, Mr. Macho." At which point, I'm horrified. What? This is now we're really.
I was very uncomfortable.
I saw this when I was 7, and I remember being really weirded out by this.
Yeah, I think what they're going for is like she was just egging him on.
But
if
she had done it for like a second, it would have been funny. But it goes on for like a minute, and she starts like rubbing his duck nipple.
Yeah, well that's true.
And then he gets like a hair boner, like the feathers on top of his head stick up.
It goes on and on.
Because he definitely did hit on her in a serious way. Right. And then she, I think in a serious way, is like, you know, into it. And then she's like, oh, just kidding. And I was like, I don't think you were kidding.
She can get salmonella or something.
I have a whole bigger theory about this, but I don't think she was kidding.
And then Tim Robbins shows up with Jeffrey Jones, and they're like looking at the shadow on the wall of what appears to be her giving him oral sex.
No,
because he leans back like this.
They're kissing.
They kiss, and then he leans back like this, and then her head goes away.
Jack put even more.
Jack, I think you're imagining things.
I swear to God, that's what's supposed to be going on.
I don't remember her going away.
I think
that's what you saw.
I know the characters aren't doing that.
Jack got a little too excited during that.
I know the characters.
This scene triggered something in Jack.
He started projecting himself onto
this. This is from Jack's fan fiction.
Jack's just like sitting there, like staring wide-eyed at it.
Team Howard.
I know the characters.
Go.
Oh, I wanted it to come in, then it was just getting good.
You're getting this confused with the scene in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I don't know. I that's what I saw. I swear, because he brings his hands up like this.
Right.
And I know the characters aren't doing that, but this is what Jeffrey Jones thinks that they're doing. You know what I mean?
What you think they're doing?
Is this like one of those movies where like you're seeing things that other people are seeing without having like access to their mind?
Yeah. That's right. Oh, that's true.
It's a cerebral film, really.
So,
that's what I saw. This movie's freaky.
So Jeffrey Jones comes in.
I'm creeped out.
Wait a second. You're really denying that pretty strongly. So Jeffrey Jones comes in,
quack,
and he's
quack.
Instantly like, Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, sure, we can send you home. Yep, I'll just do this thing that's never been done before. You know what? Hey, Smithers, go ahead to the to the lab and fire it up. We'll,
there's like this laser. Apparently, in like 20 seconds, we get exposition. They fired a laser beam that was, I don't even know why, and the laser beam was the magnet that sucked Howard the Duck to Earth.
Yes. But, like, also, why was it Howard the Duck who got sucked in?
I think it was literally just aimed at his coincidence.
Because he seemed to go past several other ducks who did not get sucked into
that,
the vortex.
That duck in
it's
the
very
bathtub
laser
was
pinpoint.
Right in the,
this thing can go across galaxies and.
I
very
guess.
Laser pinpoint.
Yep.
Okay.
It must be faster than light because that laser just immediately arrived at the planet.
So they pack up Howard the Duck's stuff. And
they have a little goodbye, and I'm like, oh, finally, this movie's gonna end.
They bring him to the lab, where a horribly, like, Freddy Krueger burned face guy comes stumbling out of the lab and is like, ah.
Because kids love horribly frail, burned up face guys.
Everything went
and
wrong.
The funny thing is, they're not even fazed by that.
Yeah.
No,
guy comes unfazed. Up, my eyes, it's all burned. They're like, wow, what's going on here? And they kind of like calmly walk in the room. I'm like,
now, did they fire the laser before Howard was there? Wasn't Howard supposed to be there when they fired said laser? To send him home?
I think they fired it before Howard was there.
Yeah,
I don't
but
know
why?
If that was
wouldn't that be counter? That would be counterintuitive. Were they just testing it again?
Well, they'd read the script for the movie and they realized they needed to get an antagonist into the movie somehow.
Something needs to happen.
Yeah. Right now we got nothing. We've just got a lot of adult contemporary band playing at a punk show and a
bizarre
duck getting
duck
driven
sex.
Around Cleveland. And Jeffrey Jones's character disappeared. It's like total
there was an explosion,
chaos
yeah,
in
like
there.
The laser exploded, something exploded, and he disappears.
He disappears. And we now meet a police captain who's sort of like. Did anybody recognize this actor?
No.
Have you guys ever. Do you guys ever watch CSI?
Oh, God, no.
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
Ever watched CSI? He's the cop, like the main cop.
Yeah, I recognize
on
him.
CSI.
I got you.
Yeah.
Is that a Jada Pinkett Smith television show?
It is. Jada Pinkett. She stars
a talk
in
show.
It.
Show.
Yeah. I don't think Jada Pinkett Smith had a talk
show. Did
she
have a talk show?
I think Holly Robinson Pete did have a talk show.
Okay,
I don't think Jada Pinkett Smith did, though.
One or the other.
Are you looking him up right now?
I'm looking some notes up. I'm trying to think something.
Looking it up on an analog cell phone.
I'm just
he's intrigued by Jack's description of that duck scene.
No, I'm wondering if he's looking for some sweet duck porn.
No, I'm wondering if we can make any Jeffrey Jones jokes.
Well, he did.
After his whole child porn thing.
Are they off limits on
that? That's probably in pretty bad taste.
That
considering
is, that is in bad taste.
Yeah.
Is that what you were looking up?
Hello.
Yeah.
I got.
Were you trying to confirm that was him?
Yeah,
was
I was always trying to confirm that.
Jeffrey Jones?
I thought it was. I could remember for sure.
Which is
I don't want to make a joke.
I've always loved
a,
Jeffrey Jones.
Be wrong and be sued
we're not,
for
we're
slander.
We're not here to defame his character. Simply to discuss his performance in this film.
Okay. all right, so now it's all chaos in there. Somehow the cops get Howard the Duck into an interrogation in another lab room. There's just all kinds of craziness going on. Howard the Duck is captured.
That's right. We haven't mentioned yet.
What's going on here in this scene anyway? Why is everybody being arrested? Why? I mean, there's an explosion in a lab.
Yeah,
but the cops are here arresting ducks and
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. What's
the problem?
No crime has been committed. I mean, it's an emergency, so you'd figure there'd be EMTs.
I mean,
freaking,
they
and
strip
firefighters
the duck down.
And
they strip Howard down. I mean, jeez.
You're right.
They're like interrogating him. This doesn't make much sense.
It actually doesn't make any sense.
I didn't think about that.
Why would they be arresting a humanized duck?
I know.
And there's no crime committed. Like this laser belonged to the Institute. There was an emergency.
All the crime was illegal alien.
I didn't see that one coming from real life.
Well, he was an illegal alien.
Can I say right now that this film is quite lavishly produced? The set where this laser is huge.
Yeah.
You know, like this, the duck outfit looks nice. Fantastic.
And some of the effects are really, you know, I liked some of the effects actually.
Some of them, wait till we get to the end where we have a terrible effect. Or an effect that I liked, a matting of an effect that was.
Well, it's a beautiful effect. It's just
atrocious.
Dated. It's just dated.
Explosion?
For its time, it was
no,
a gorgeous.
No, the monster at the end.
That's a
no,
gorgeous
no, I
effect.
I loved it.
I love stop motion, but it's
so
matted
it's
in.
I thought
it was matted in well. I think
I'll take that over CG any day.
I think it's the best you could do without CG.
I don't know.
Compared to CG, it looks like crap. But
I
it looks gorgeous.
If they had lowered
gorgeous.
Well, all right, we'll get into that.
No, yeah, you can tell their issues are.
So Jeffrey Jones somehow Leah Thompson takes a cop's gun, and our hero is now holding a cop at gunpoint, and they go on the run inside the lab. Jeffrey Jones is alive, but is acting super weird.
Yep. Is anyone else thinking Green Lantern at this point?
I was waiting for a gigantic green toilet to flush the
characters
away.
Or he was
going to
turn into the Peter Skarsgård.
As he went along, he actually kind of
did. He kind of did, actually.
He actually, yeah, literally did.
But it's not the fault. That's the fault of Green Lantern, more or less. Not.
Yeah, Green Lantern was copying. That's DC copying Marvel right there. Yeah. Marvel should sue.
We can all agree that Green Lantern was terrible.
Yeah, shame on the Green Lantern for mimicking something Howard the Duck.
Right, yeah. That's why they failed.
So they all get into Jeffrey Jones's truck and drive through a gate to get away from the lab.
And at first,
cops.
Of course, he's now here Jeffrey Jones's character changes, but at least it makes sense in the plot. He's being possessed by something.
Does it make sense?
I just feel like there's nothing to talk about from this point on.
There's not.
Can we just end it?
Well, diner scene goes on. There's a long time.
Yeah, we're going
to get more counter slide
about the diner scene.
I know, but
more
wow,
slip
it's like.
Slide on the counter.
There's really nothing of any substance here.
And Tracy
here,
Gold, right? Tracy Gold? Isn't Tracy Gold the waitress in the diner?
No, I don't
no?
think so.
No.
No.
I thought that was
no,
Tracy
she
Gold.
No. She would have been.
Oh, this is too early.
That would have been too early. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's Tracy Gold?
From Growing Pains?
From Growing Pains. Yeah. I swear I thought that was so Tracy old. Gold.
I know.
Yeah.
That show was on when I was like two.
Yeah. So they go, okay. So, and Andy, just to move. So Howard the Duck, Jeffrey Jones, and Leah Thompson go to a restaurant. This is the one joke in the movie that I thought was funny. If you look at the restaurant,
found a joke funny.
There's a funny joke. If you look at the restaurant's top, it was an Italian restaurant where Italian restaurant is crossed out and says Cajun, and the next Cajun sushi. Says sushi. And the waitress's uniforms sushi, a mix of Italian, Cajun, and sushi. Just a very small bit that was kind of funny.
It was kind of clever, I guess.
Yeah, they did. Well, they didn't play it that like. They didn't push it
they
that hard.
They play it over the top like they do everything else.
Yeah. Jeffrey Jones is transforming, or as he puts it at one point, I am now someone else. Okay. It's pretty,
that needed to be clarified.
Pretty open-ended.
It needed to be clarified.
But he's transforming into a demon.
Here's my question. So prior scenes, you know, obviously they're showing that, like, a duck can be transported from another universe to here.
Yeah.
And that guy's character, like the scientist guy, explained to them, like, oh, something else came through that laser and it's here now, but we don't know what it is. Like, so they know this going in. And the whole time on the car ride, like, Jeffrey Jones is like going like unconscious and conscious again as he's driving to the point where he can't even like operate a motor vehicle anymore.
Yeah.
And they're not like suspicious at all about this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you're okay.
Maybe it's something you ate.
Nor do they ever sell him, hey, stop the truck. We're going to get out here. Thanks, Jeffrey Jones.
Like, yeah. No, they all go to eat together.
They all go to eat. Yeah, there's a line where they're like, you just need something to eat.
Yeah. Now, here's my question throughout this whole scene. So he's supposedly, like, a dark overlord now who is some huge badass. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, so in that guy's character, he's kind of like, all right, you know, before I start, you know, destroying the world and killing people. Well, I'll have a meal first.
Yeah,
I'll go with these people. Sit down for a bit.
He said he doesn't eat anymore. He said I don't eat.
Yet he gets. Yet he complains when
he's like,
"I
won't eat, but I'll sit with you guys."
He wasn't at full power.
Yet he complains when they took his eggs. When they take his eggs away later on, she says, "Why aren't you getting up?" He says, "They took my eggs away."
This guy is the most passive villain ever in this scene.
Yeah,
like,
well, he wasn't full power yet. He was gaining power.
I know.
He's also
took him 10 minutes to gain power.
He's also later on in this movie shot 3 times by a gun that they cannot swivel. That they actually have to like. Elaborately positioned into place before they can even shoot it at him.
It's like a cannon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all this crap starts happening around him in this restaurant. And he's just like sitting calmly watching it all.
Yeah, because they go, the restaurant, something happens like when they're trying to leave and the restaurant goes crazy.
I don't know what's going on. They're just sitting there and these three guys come up and they're like,
we don't like ducks
we don't
here
like
or something.
You
I don't. Yeah.
Apparently, this has come up before.
Again, I think they're trying to.
We don't like ducks here.
This
I
is
think
duck
again,
racism.
They're trying to rape Leah Thompson. I think
this is duck racism.
And then, of course, you got the typical. What's this? And the guy takes the.
and he knew it was a key. He knew it was a code key. It doesn't look anything like a key. He says, "What's this? The key to your duckmobile?" He puts it in his pocket.
It's like, how old are these guys? Fucking.
First of all, why would
seven? I mean,
first of all, why would he take it? Second of all, why would he know that it was a key?
And we should say too, this is this weird code key that the Jeffrey Jones character has that makes the laser work. The one thing.
This is what I don't understand though, because he's talking about, he shows that to them while they're sitting at the table, and he's like, "This is the thing that's whatever going to allow me to call my friends over and everything." And then it just gets taken from, and he just sits there.
He has no reaction. In fact,
they took my eggs away.
In fact, Howard the Duck and Leah Thompson have to remind him later, they have your code key. Yeah, yeah. You need that bad guy.
It's like, what is going on this scene? This is the worst bad guy ever.
Yeah.
He's like the most unmotivated villain ever.
Yeah.
All right, I guess I'll go get it.
We do get a bunch of stuff where Howard the Duck, instead of throwing pies at bad guys,
Bad guys run into pies he is holding.
I don't,
they all run up to him.
Multiple guys
put their faces into
like
the pies.
Like you would think, like even the third guy would be like, "I just saw two guys run up to a pie. I'm not gonna do that.
They're gonna pass.
It's embarrassing."
And then every patron in there hates the duck now.
Right.
And they're all holding him down, and they want to cut him up. And
yeah.
In some reason, this post is motivates Jenkins to.
That's when they say to Jeffrey Jones, like, "Hey, that guy has that thing you want." And then Jeffrey Jones turns into like that 80s electrical
He starts throwing the 80s purple lightning around.
Yeah.
He reminded me so much as he started transforming into Vincent D'Onofrio's character in Men in Black.
Yes.
Where he just starts like talking real weird and doing like weird body motions and everything. Like, "Oh, I better get the Kodak."
So he kidnaps Leah Thompson, or Jeffrey Jones kidnaps Leah Thompson and drives away.
Right.
And then the cops show up again.
And they arrest, what's his name is there? Tim Robbins.
They had arrested Tim Robbins at the lab.
At the lab.
Now, this is arresting everybody.
This is Tim Robbins 2.0.
Yeah, why did he get
arrested? We are now witnessing different Tim Robbins. Something happened.
Well, the laser brought another creature down that possessed Tim Robbins.
I would believe that. Because something between the point of them going into the lab for the first time and Tim Robbins getting arrested, his character makes a dramatic shift. Yeah. He is now really motivated to help out and very intelligent, and immediately he's like, "Hey, look at this. I found a tiny airplane across the street from the restaurant." And
why was he even there?
He got arrested, and then Howard the Duck helps him get out of the car.
Yeah, but why wasn't he taken downtown? Why did they just leave him back in the car for a day?
The diner massacre.
So this is like 5 minutes later?
Five people were hit by pies.
Get over here quick.
Yeah, and when they got hit by pies, by the way, they're like, incapacitated.
How do we know that this wasn't like a video game
when you throw a pie at someone and they're actually like now
you see the little stars over their head just done.
So and we should mention too, this whole restaurant thing is happening at night. It's dark. They come outside.
Well,
they
have a quick throwaway line there.
What was it?
Tim Robbins says, "It's almost dawn. We gotta get moving."
I didn't even catch it.
Almost dawn. More like it's almost noon.
I thought the same thing, because then they go to the truck and she's asleep in the truck and looks like, how freaking far are they driving?
I know.
Yeah, I didn't catch that line.
How far
are they
gone?
Yeah,
he said it's almost dawn. We gotta get moving.
Because they went from the lab to the diner, then the back, and it's like going there didn't take too long. But coming back, it seemed like a 12-hour drive because she's sleeping.
Right, she's sleeping, and there's like bright light. You know, like. But no, he said that.
Well, Howard the Duck and Tim Robbins definitely find the little airplane, though, when it's still night.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, because then we cut to Leah Thompson
asleep
and
in the
Jeffrey
truck.
Jones, and they're going to a nuke plant where, like, I think this is where we get...
well, they're going back to the lab, but they just happen to pass a nuke plant.
Oh, maybe that's
they're
it.
They're going back to the lab.
Power.
He wants power.
Yeah. So he...
Well, first he gets it out of the cigarette lighter in his car.
He uses his tongue tentacle to suck the power out of the...
You're kind
of
like, whoa, where is that going?
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Where
really
is
creepy.
That going?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm waiting.
I know.
And then it goes into
Jack
the
was on the edge of his seat.
I was. I was like, my God, this is...
No, if the duck was there, he'd been on the edge of his seat, but...
No duck, it's not.
Since it was a woman, he's like, okay.
Howard, I would like to...
So Jeffrey Jones ties up Leah Thompson.
Jack.
Whoa.
Jack's written some fanfic.
Tongue action.
And he ties up Leah Thompson. He goes into a nuclear power plant where he just...
Takes a tour.
It was the 80s.
And he's like, his clothes are all half burned.
He disguises himself as one of like the executives with the nuclear company and goes, that's
I don't know why.
Once again, this is a supposedly a dark overlord who's all powerful.
He's got to
he feels like he just has to join the tour.
Well, I don't know why
he took the tour. What time does the tour start? Yeah. Am I too late for the noon? Can I get a senior discount? Please, can I have a hard hat? Safety first.
And then when he finds the power, right, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And at some point in this scene, he actually gets the power he needs so that he can become this evil overlord, right? Tell me why happy, heroic music plays. Like, dun, 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 instead of, like, ominous music plays when the bad guy gets the power he needs
because
to become.
Because, maybe another, they figure at this point.
Another poor decision made in the whole big poor decision movie.
Yeah.
I guess so. Maybe they figured Jeffrey Jones is the hero. He's finally going to kill Howard the Duck, so triumphant music.
Well, he is now nuclear powered. He walks back. He walks back to the truck, and Leah Thompson's in there. And Jeffrey Jones just gets in. And he's like, "I'm good to go now." And I'm like, "Oh, she is radiation poisoned."
Why does he need Leah Thompson? He doesn't need that leverage.
He needs the body. Yeah, he wants the body. So another.
Right. He can bring in the other.
He wants a mate.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when he first said, "I need your body."
Did you notice that this movie also never cuts back to? What happened with that nuke plant? Like, was that like a Chernobyl situation?
Wouldn't it be?
Like,
yeah, you got radiation. You got radiation coming
like,
right out of
there. You had like a nuclear reactor leak, and that's never brought up again.
If he drained the power plant of all of its power, therefore rendering the plant completely unradiated, say. Let's just say maybe he absorbed all the radiation into himself through some sci-fi means. Why are there still electricity in the other places that they go?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's
it would kill the entire, like, eastern seaboard or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, the entire northern Ohio is probably a disaster zone after this, but okay.
Then we cut back to...
It's now
one of the longest scenes.
This is probably the longest scene in the entire film.
End the scene.
This scene is way too long.
This is when I kind of realized, oh, you know what they're doing? They're trying to take a 20-minute short and make a feature-length movie.
But it's an hour and 50 minutes long, though. They could have still cut that.
Oh, I know, they could have. Yeah, but
this movie should have been like 75 minutes. There's no reason why
it dragged this scene out like crazy.
Well, because Tim Robbins and Howard the Duck get into this little mini airplane.
It felt like a James Bond sequence, too, from like Live and Let Die.
This did feel like a James Bond sequence.
It was beautifully shot, and the stunt work is fantastic, but it just there's no story. You don't care about the characters, and it goes on and on and on. Yeah.
And tell me if I understand the scene right. So they get into this little like personal aircraft
plane,
and they're trying to fly back to the
trying to get back to the lab. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. They're trying to get there before Jeffrey Jones does.
Before Jeffrey Jones can get there, because they want to save Leah Thompson. They do have time just to buzz some duck hunters just for fun, I guess. For fun. Why not?
I'm 5 minutes ahead of schedule here. Let me go buzz some duck hunters.
And so they're flying back there. This just takes forever. I don't even know what to say about
it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
They could have had them gone. They got away and then just cut to them landing at the freaking plant. And I've been like, okay.
They must have shot this for 10 days. Mm-hmm. This must have been 10 days of shooting of just this little plane.
Yeah, they're in this.
And by the way, Tim Robbins now fully functional, like advising, like he's
repairing
the adult.
The plane mid-flight.
Yeah, he's like R2-D2, like fixing it like while they're going on.
Oh my God.
And it's obvious they hate each other. They're like throwing insults at one another, like a playful mutual hate.
I guess his plan was he doesn't know how to fly it. And Howard's a duck, so he's going to know how to fly it.
I think it's just
Howard's afraid of flying.
I think it was an extended joke that Howard doesn't like flying.
If God intended us to fly, he wouldn't have taken away our wings.
There is one great moment in it, though, and as I saw it building up, I got very excited. And you can see it in my notes here. We've got it.
Yep. And they even called something like that,
too. It goes loop-de-loop, I think. But I was hoping that would come back and he'd like do something to save someone or get away or something and it'd actually be like important. But
I was so amazed when it happened.
I was really disappointed that this was our 100th episode for a while, but then when that happened, I'm like, all right, good.
And super duper mooper. For no reason, and there's not even a benefit out of it. They just do it because.
Well, was there ever really a benefit for a super duper?
It wasn't the one movie.
In Santa Claus, the movie, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a debatable benefit. It was
a little dangerous, but.
Yeah.
Super Duper Looper is always a benefit.
We're at about the 2-year anniversary of the Super Duper Looper, I think.
Yeah, it is about the 2-year.
Is it Super Duper Looper or Super Duper Loop De Looper?
No, it's Super Duper Looper.
Isn't that Loop De Looper?
No,
that's just too silly.
I'm going to watch Santa Claus the movie now.
It's even too silly for Santa Claus the movie.
And at the same time, by the way, Jeffrey Jones is in this tractor trailer. Well, looper and duper, right? And they come
to... But you add the loop-de in there, it takes the rhyme scheme out.
It doesn't. Yeah. Super duper loop-de looper. Works better.
No, it doesn't.
That's I'm going to watch the movie again.
Certainly
who's got
sounds
it?
More ridiculous.
Believe me, I sold that back to the store as soon as I could. Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
I bet it is on Netflix.
That is. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, you should watch
it. For the holidays.
Yeah. With your family.
Get the family around.
Yeah. It's great. Kids.
You ruined Christmas, Dad.
Yeah.
Again.
So Jeffrey Jones is in this tractor trailer, and they come to an emissions checkpoint. And I got to talk through this one thing, because this is amazing to me. There's another car stopped at the emissions checkpoint with a cop talking to him. This guy gets rear-ended
from behind. The cop
so hard that he moves forward like 4 feet, and the cop blames the guy.
Like, turn off your engine.
The guy's like, "What? I got rear." Like, so this you're telling me this cop didn't notice a multi-car accident that happened cars in front of him? There's also another tiny little funny bit. Is as the cop walks up to Jeffrey Jones's car, you can see one of the other guys who's in the string of cars leaning out, whiplash. I thought that was kind of funny.
That was just like the filmmakers putting like a little environmental message in there.
Oh, maybe I didn't even really think of that way.
Gotta have a smog checkpoint.
Well, for an environmental message, they really soft sold the whole nuclear reactor meltdown. They wanted to get environmental. And
that was their response to the nuclear meltdown. They had started doing
the smog checks. Too much, yeah.
Yeah. So somewhere near Howard and Tim Robbins, they crash land into a pond where, again, Howard the Duck can't swim. Tim Robbins.
Felsey, save me, Felsey.
He is the hero of this movie.
They hate each other. He's calling like a son of a bitch, like while they're flying. You silly son of a bitch. What are you doing? Who taught you how to fly? They're like, shut up. You know, like they're arguing the entire flight.
Yeah.
And Howard the Duck almost kills Tim Robbins, whether intentional or not. And now he's like, please help me, Filsey. Please help me, Filsey. I'd be like, you duck.
Yep.
That's what I would have said.
You mother ducker.
That's right.
I was surprised they didn't go for that joke.
I was
kept thinking that might come in.
Or son of a duck.
And Tim Robbins brings him.
It's not very funny, but for a movie like this, it makes no sense.
Yeah, my mom is a duck. Yeah. It wouldn't work.
Or
son of a quacker. Or you mother quacker.
Or have him say, fuck a duck.
Well, it seemed like they were going there.
They had to keep a PG. They had to keep an F-bomb out.
Tim Robbins comes in, and he's like, hey, I know where there's a neutron disruptor. Let's get that.
And somehow he does this handcuffed. Now, we got to remember, for this entire sequence, Tim Robbins is handcuffed, and he is still handcuffed at this scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, I break some at some point.
He breaks them in like an off scene. Like they cut away, and they cut back, and he's all of a sudden free of the handcuffs.
Yeah. And they then get a cart. They put, because there's a neutron disruptor sitting around, they put it on a cart, but they can't aim the neutron disruptor.
Right,
the neutron disruptor seems to be connected to the cart somehow, too, right?
It's like a turret.
Yeah.
Until the end when he takes it off and puts it on his shoulder.
Well, that's true, too.
I don't know why I didn't do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Especially because they're having such trouble driving it. Because
the scene would have been a lot shorter than that.
And there's a lot of footage of a cart driving around. We just get a lot.
Why does he have to put his seatbelt on? It's like the car doesn't work unless he puts his seatbelt on. Like, that feels like another,
It's a message. It's a message.
Yes. It's a nuclear plant.
Wear your seatbelts.
They don't want any mistakes.
Before you fire a neutron, whatever it is.
Why doesn't it work? Put on the seatbelt. He puts on the seatbelt, and literally the engine starts.
It starts. They shoot Jeffrey Jones with the neutron disruptor, and then...
Whose hair is, 10 inches...
He's got, spikes coming out of his back.
Even his mustache is
Skarsgård.
Yeah, he is. And now Jeffrey Jones goes back to being just regular Jeffrey Jones. He's like, hey, you knocked the alien out of me. But it's around here somewhere.
Yep.
And a giant stop-motion monster starts.
So does it not need to live in a person?
Lizard. I don't.
Then why do you need a Thompson if it doesn't need to live in a person?
Because they're too hideous, is what he said earlier.
Now you're taking over the world. Who cares if...
cares how hideous you are? In fact,
yeah, why is it got me in Leah Thompson?
Why would they? Okay,
well, how are they going to eat
why would Dark Overlord? Now, here's a question.
Down, then when they're coming down, there's like four of them coming down to just Leah Thompson, and they go like all four of them going to go inside her.
Just like a
deep movie all of a sudden.
Demon gangs.
Well, quad pee.
Well, just because the overlords wouldn't think they were ugly.
Yeah,
why would an overlord think it was ugly? Wouldn't an overlord think the humans were ugly and say, you know, we're the master race, we're going to take over your planet? Who cares if
they
we look like scorpion lizards?
They probably
want
to be more inconspicuous, but they couldn't have been more inconspicuous.
They want to take over the world in style.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know why it's
their
like...
Their plan was to infiltrate an 80s punk rock band.
Well, I don't know why they would want to take over people's bodies if their bodies just transform into hideous, monstrous creatures anyways.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Within 8 hours, Geoffrey Jones obviously is a monster.
I don't know. He got on the freaking nuclear plant tour pretty easy, so...
He did.
He must have looked pretty normal.
That was before he had his spine was protruding
out
of
his back. That's a giveaway right there.
And luckily the lab they're in is prepared for this exact situation because it starts doing a countdown of 4 minutes until aliens arrive. I don't know who programmed that in as a setting, but they're ready for it.
Like 10 years ago, they're like,
I love that.
What are you working on, Phil?
That was the alien invasion countdown mechanism.
That was my favorite part.
We're never
going to
need that. You're wasting your time.
There was at least 5 minutes left.
That's right.
That's why that was my favorite part of the movie. 4 minutes until the aliens arrive. Okay, well, let's give 1 minute for an ending. That's 5 minutes left to the movie. Okay.
And I just started thinking at this point, I'm like, well, I wonder if they're going to do something cool to blast this giant stop-motion monster, which was, nope, just shoot him with the same gun. It's just the same thing they already did to Geoffrey Jones.
What was he doing to Leah Thompson and Tim Robbins? Dematerializing them? Or?
Yeah, they were like kind of disappearing.
Like, I don't
know.
What
was the
end
game there? Was he...
That didn't make sense.
Instead of just
know.
Zapping them, and
they were frozen.
They were like, they're
gonna they're like collapsing like in pain, and they're dematerializing. Yeah. They're like becoming like soft at focus, and then all of a sudden they start disappearing.
Yeah, but it was like, but then once he blasted the alien with Howard Duck shot the alien a second time with the same gun, it was like, nope, Leah Thompson and Tim Robbins are fine. Yeah. Ooh, close one for something. I don't know.
Everything's feeling okay inside
wasn't
me.
That on that,
Dematerialized, but...
Yeah. Wasn't there another movie we did with that effect? I can't remember if it was something we did or just something I watched, but where monsters slowly, like, dematerialize someone like that. It reminded me of something.
It reminded me of something, too. Well, and my problem with the big... I liked the stop-motion monster, but it's lit... It's lit so differently from the background they're putting it in. So in the matting of it, you're just like, two things were not shot at the same.
Well, I thought the movement of it was good. And,
It's again, nice.
You got to remember this is 86. Yeah,
it's nice stop motion, but had none of them for a movie of this budget. How did somebody not say, hey, if you're doing stop motion, just watch any Ray Harryhausen movie and notice that oftentimes the backgrounds are a little darker so that the matting process looks, you can
more
match
natural.
The mat a little bit more easily and not have a background that's actually brighter than the thing you're putting on it.
Yeah, true.
But,
I guess they're out of money at that point.
George Lucas was like, sorry guys, I'm out of money.
I think George Lucas just gave him a blank check and said, do what you will.
So Howard shoots the machine, which stops the alien invasion, but he can't go back to his home planet because it will. I guess they can't rebuild the laser. There was a one-shot deal with the laser
Sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure that thing cost millions of dollars.
And the movie really comes to the natural conclusion that I think all the arcs were building to, which was a rock concert.
A rock concert where all of a sudden, what's her face is famous, I guess.
Leah Thompson.
I have expected Geoffrey Jones to be like at the bass guitar.
What happened to Geoffrey Jones? We never see him. Everyone else gets like a final shot. He doesn't even get a final shot. I guess he lived. I don't know. I thought he was going to be the other stage manager for a minute. Because Tim Robbins is.
Did anyone think it's funny when Howard did his guitar solo and Duck walked?
Ha. And they play this song. We were joking about it before
Howard
he went on.
The Duck. Howard the Duck.
That's why they're famous now.
And they play the whole thing.
He's from outer space. Howard the Duck. And then at the end of the movie, the last shot of the movie is the concert's over, and he runs backstage with Leah Thompson. She goes, "Oh, Howard," and it fades out.
I'd like to give a theory.
She goes down on him.
You don't know.
I saw it.
You
don't know. DVD player, right now. Go back and you're gonna examine the scene.
I'm going to defend Jactor a little bit because I think this movie...
What else are you made to believe?
I think the movie does put forward the theory that Howard the Duck and Leah Thompson are
doing
in a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're totally doing it.
Because there's a point in the restaurant...
Thank you.
Even after she's like, oh, I was just kidding. In the restaurant, she yells to that crowd of people who are fighting Howard the Duck. He's my boyfriend. To which they're all like, ew. So I'm like, I think, and I was like, okay, I thought the Tim Robbins character and the Leah Thompson character were going to be getting together, and when they didn't at the end, I was like, I think this is more support for this, you know.
You could teach a college class on this.
Yeah. And here's my one other theory I'll run by you guys. I think this is how I think this movie was pitched. I'm not going to say they succeeded on this pitch. I think that they pitched it as, okay, studio, here's our plan. This is going to be E.T., meets Ghostbusters, meets Back to the Future. What if the E.T. was the wisecracking character of Bill Murray in Ghostbusters? We'll put them in one movie. We'll have some supernatural action, some comedy, some Back to the Future fish out of water, and it'll be great.
Some purple lightning.
Yeah.
I think they're more forced into this movie, though, because from what I was reading, it was supposed to be an animated movie.
Oh, really?
George Lucas wanted to do animated, but some contractual thing he had... Like, his next movie had to be a live-action thing. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I guess we'll just do Howard the Duck. Because he'd been wanting to do Howard the Duck for a while, I think.
Okay.
And so he had to do a live-action movie. So I think that explains some of it, at least. Like,
yeah, but how those decisions. How involved was he? I mean, you know, George Lucas presents. Well, you see that all the time.
No, I think he wanted to do
you
it.
Find out they got checked.
No, I don't think he... I think he produced it.
Did he?
He produced it.
Well, it says they present, but...
I think he was pretty
it's
involved.
It's Lucasfilm.
But he, I think it was
It was their first major project after Return of the
Jedi.
Yeah,
he's executive producer.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it was his thing. I was reading, like, he wanted to do this since, like, American Graffiti. He wanted to do it. And I think that...
Which is so weird.
I know he made American Graffiti.
He must be a fan of the comic.
I want to follow up American Graffiti.
But from my research, it has zero to do with the comic, except it's about a duck named Howard. Who
and
talks.
I think that the only reason it really got made was because they were like, well, we can't... I think it was Universal. And they had passed on George Lucas projects in the past, and then they were huge. And so, like, we can't pass on another George Lucas project. And then they ended up with Howard the Duck.
This was the first indicator of that there was trouble in the world of George Lucas's ideas.
Yeah. That maybe there was some luck in the early days.
Teacher, I can't get to my test.
You can't get to your test?
Yeah, I'm trying to get to the...
It's on the interwebs.
I can't get to it.
You can't get to your email?
No, all right, well, here, we'll do a quick So Wrong It's Right question for this movie before we get to that. This movie, if you went through the credits, the Leah Thompson band like recorded a lot of songs.
And it's actually her singing, right?
According to the credits, it's actually her singing. Who was the 1980s, I don't want to say rocks, you know, well-known rock figure who... wrote all of the music for this movie.
Is this a performer or like a producer?
Performer.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, sound like Prince to me.
Was it Flock of Seagulls?
No.
Was it Blue Oyster Cult? Was it the Bangles? Or was it the She Blinded Me with Science guy?
Science!
Yeah. I'm going to say it's the Bangles. It's an easy answer. It's probably wrong.
I'm
going to
say Blue Oyster
Bangles.
Cult just because it seems so.
Well, it does seem so out there, Blue Oyster Cult, doesn't it?
Yeah. What are you going with?
It was so synthesizer. I don't know. I'm going to say Thomas Dolby.
Okay.
You know the guy's name?
Yeah. I grew up with that song. Yeah. She blinded me with science.
I'll go with that as well.
That's who it is. She blinded me with science guy. He wrote all the songs for this movie.
I was going to say it, but I just
And there
that
were a
was
lot
cute.
Of songs.
He must have written it in like 2 seconds.
Well, I kept thinking they were just playing the same song, but like when you go through the credits, it was like 6 songs that were written for this, for that Leah Thompson
band. Yeah, I guess
band.
It was, because she had one in the beginning, and then there was two in the middle.
Were there
Howard
two
the duck?
In the
well, because there's the song Howard that plays when he's stepping duck. Out into the rain and a guy's singing it, but then she later plays that same song and she sings it, and then she says, this is boring, let's start to rock.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Okay. So that, this is a crazy movie. I had not watched it since I was a kid, and
I've never seen it.
Boring, too.
It's not. Is it so bad? It's good. I wouldn't say not
no,
really.
No, it's just straight bad.
It's just bad. It's very dull.
It's dull. I tried watching last night. I fell asleep. I had to get up this morning and watch it.
Yeah.
And I didn't get too far into it.
It's been nothing. All that happens is Howard the Duck comes to Earth, runs around for a while,
works in a bathhouse.
Works in a bathhouse.
Almost gets.
goes to a lab, goes to a restaurant, a goes DJ. Back to a lab, maybe.
Gets bowled down a couple of bar counters.
In Jack's version, anyway.
And that's it. That's all there is.
I want to see movies through Jack's mind.
No. I know that that didn't happen. What I'm saying is, what did Jeffrey Jones think happened?
Or what did Jeffrey Jones want to happen?
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. So, in honor of our 100th episode, we have some recapping to do, and we can do our first recap. We'll have everyone's opinion on what were their favorite bad movies that they've seen for this podcast.
Oh, geez, that's easy.
Their favorite bad movies. You can give two if you want. You know, Jack, you want
to
start
two?
Us off?
I'm going to say.
You're talking favorite.
I'm going to say
bad best. Movies or the we like doing the podcast.
Just the movies.
Ones that you like.
The best so bad it's good movies. So bad it's good.
I'm going to say The Wicker Man. It's awesome.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to say They Live is fantastic. I am not going to say Monster Dog because Monster Dog is a good movie, not a bad movie.
Well, that's the next question.
That should not have been done.
That's a different question.
That should never have been made into a podcast.
That's not the one, Jack. No.
And everything is wrong about that answer.
Favorite overall.
Yeah. Oh. So you're going with Wicker Man.
Wicker Man and They Live are my answers.
Two great, so bad, it's good movies.
I also have to go with Wicker Man. And Tiptoes was really bad.
Tiptoes.
That was really bad. But I think I go with Escape.
So bad, it's good?
It is fun to watch. It is fun to watch. Yeah, because it's such a wreck.
But I'm going to say Escape from L.A. too.
Escape from L.A. is so bad it's good too. Yeah.
There's a lot I could have gone with.
Somebody got the list.
Oh my God. He just asked me.
No, my first one is my first one.
You're
going to
go through the 100 movies.
Is Drive Something.
Drive Angry.
Drive Angry.
Oh, Drive Angry.
It was Drive Angry.
That was pretty bad.
No, this is your favorite So Bad It's Good movie. You're going to Drive Angry.
Yeah, because I actually bought that one after it was on sale for $4 on Blu-ray.
Wow. Okay.
And I was like, geez, I'll probably watch that again. I did kind of watch it again, but because it was so bad, though. It was entertaining. It was still entertaining.
Okay.
Yep.
And second one, go ahead, Brian.
Wow. That's what we call a segue.
I can't think of my second one. I can't.
Brian, have you ever had?
Someone talk to you abruptly? No. I gotta say. You know what I gotta say? I gotta bring it back around to me.
Yes, $4 on Blue. Very good.
Stand by, Brian.
I'm not good at the pressure.
If this was a TV segment, I would have been looking down, writing something. Oh, wait, what? Oh,
three.
I thought he was still talking.
My second one has to be because I watched it.
Pull it back.
It is bad, but I watch it over and over again. Is Fear No Evil.
Oh, okay.
Because I do watch that one. It's bad, but I do end up watching it over and over again.
It is so bad, it's good. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Wicker Man 2 was good, but bad. Brian?
Just giving you enough time. You sure? You sure you're done?
I'm done.
Okay. He's done. Brian, which one?
My favorite. All right, so I have Tiptoes. Well, Cody, you kind of said that, but that's definitely in my top two.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I'm fascinated.
I was bummed out I missed out on that.
And I still want to somehow find that original cut.
I know.
Oh, God.
I think that would be amazing.
I would pay money
hour
for that
long,
cut.
Extra hour long.
I don't know if I
could
sit through that.
And I really liked Alex Cross.
I
thought that was a great one. Yeah. I've actually, at times when I've been scrolling through the movie channels and I've seen that movie.
You might click on it.
Yeah. I actually watch it for a little bit. One time I turned it on. The scene where Ed Burns gets his ass kicked in the parking garage.
Yes.
Right, so the parking garage. Yeah, he intercepts the car by putting Ed Burns in a direct high speed collision.
Buckle up, Ed.
I've got a plan.
And it's not good for you.
And then they position the car so that you get the first impact. Thanks, buddy.
Yep, yeah.
It's incredible.
That's a wingman right there.
You're my airbag.
My favorite two, the two that I describe to people the most are, one has to be Over the Top, Sylvester Stallone, arm wrestling movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other is I Know Who Killed Me.
I was thinking that one earlier today because I was like,
oh yeah.
It was so bizarre.
Oh my God.
It was so bizarre, but it was so bland too, though. I was
really?
I liked talking about it more than I liked watching it, I think.
Yeah.
By the way,
related to that, I have to give Alex props for one of the funnier tweets I've seen in a while related to the Jose Canseco. finger falling off his never has anyone lost a finger so casually.
I'll tell you off air, I got a very funny response to that tweet that you'll find enjoyable from a very surprising fan of the show.
I thought you were going to say that was from the Amityville 4-1. That's a nasty looking finger.
That's also true.
I also got to give a shout out to 88 Minutes too, I think.
I know.
88 Minutes is a masterpiece.
It's a
masterpiece.
That's one of the few movies I did not return to the DVD store that I still hold on to. Okay, our next category is movies that you actually kind of think were good, or a movie that you would actually watch again by choice, not in a so bad it's good way.
The Happening.
You already got mine. You don't mind.
I know. I didn't even put
any
disclaimers on it.
Well, Andy likes half of these movies.
I know. I didn't. We did this in the 50th,
House of the Dead.
Well, we did this in the 50th episode. We put disclaimers on it where we said, you know, we eliminated certain movies for Andy so that he had to work. But for the 100th, no disclaimers. Andy, we'll start with you. What of the movies you've seen for this, what ones are the ones that you actually are like, it's a decent movie?
Well, they shouldn't have been on Halloween 3.
Oh, God.
Because I watched that one over and over again. And there's actually
movie.
A couple. What's the other one?
You can have terrible jingles associated with movies.
No, The Happening I do watch, but Monster Dog. Love Monster Dog. Atmosphere, baby.
It's all atmosphere.
Just like The Happening. It's got atmosphere.
Okay.
That shouldn't have been on here either.
Cody, what are your...
I had to go with Hansel and Gretel because I actually enjoyed that one more than I thought I would. Yes. I thought I was going to hate it. I was like, this is actually not that bad of a movie. And... I was going to go with They Live, but I'll go with Sleepaway Camp 2. I thought that one was
I've
fun.
That too,
yeah, that actually wasn't that bad, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I kind of... I would probably buy that one if I found it for cheap.
Yeah, that's true. Jack, what do you got
I'm
going
to say Monster Dog, because I think that movie's just fantastically bad.
It's terrible. What are you talking about?
It brings me such joy.
The only reason I love it is because
Alice Cooper's in it. And the other one, I would never see it again, I'm going to remind everyone of my bizarre paperboy experience, where I sort of didn't like it, but I kind of liked it.
Jack,
I don't know why.
I think you have a little crush on Zac Efron.
I don't know. I don't think that's it. I think it's just I didn't think it was as awful as everyone said it was. Though I would never watch it again because it is awful. I can't explain it. The paperboy was just such a weird experience for me. As I was like, this sucks, but I'm captivated. I can't explain the feeling. I honestly cannot. I know what you're thinking, and I agree with you, but I don't know.
Well, he did pick up some critical awards. I
just want to say something real quick. On here. By the way, how have we not brought this up yet? That Yardley and Matthew McConaughey are both in Interstellar.
Oh, are they?
Oh, that's true.
I haven't seen Interstellar.
Yeah. I was totally laughing so hard when they were in that parent-teacher conference. I'm like, oh my God, are they banging in this movie?
Yeah. That's why the kid
What's
gets
the plastic
his,
for?
His grades are good.
They're gonna plastic down.
I was just waiting for a scene of Matthew McConaughey in Zero Gravity all tied up, floating around naked.
Yeah. Little blobs of stuff floating around.
All right, here's the two I'm going to go with. that is disturbing.
The movie was disturbing. What do you want from me? Little
blobs. I was going to go with Hansel and Gretel, but I agree with Cody. I actually kind of liked Hansel and Gretel. But for mine, I'm going to go with Drive Angry, which I have watched
that again on cable.
Which I like personally.
So you don't think that's so bad, it's good. You're going with it's...
I'm not saying it's good, but I there was stuff in it. It was better than I think I thought it was going to be into it. And the other one, I can't get it out of my head, is Knight Riders.
I forgot about that one.
Crazy movie.
Knight Riders.
I was considering that.
Knight Riders
I've actually
strangely
seen it.
Good.
They played all the time on that El Rey network.
Yeah.
Oh, do they? Because
they play it all the time, and I've watched not the whole thing, but I said I've turned it on for a bit.
It's strange.
There's something. You're right. Maybe it's just because it's a Romero thing. I think that.
I don't. It's hard is in the right place, and it's so weird. But I
can't hate it.
Hard is in the right place.
No, you can't hate it. It's true. If I had to say three, I would include Knight Riders, but I can't. So I'm sticking with my answer.
Brian, what do you got?
I have Drive Angry as well, because I thought that was a bad movie, but I thought some of it was intentionally bad to play up just the craziness of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and my second one, I have always liked They Live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I actually that was probably my least favorite episode to do because I actually legitimately.
I think everybody
that
around the table likes They Live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like They Live a lot.
But there's so many crazy things.
Right. It is crazy, but it's very likable. Yeah, that's true.
And it has one of my favorite catchphrases, the bubblegum catchphrase.
Yes.
Which, coincidentally, I think I posted this on the Facebook page for the show last year, or earlier in the summer, but I actually went to this like weird soda shop over the summer in St. Louis, and they actually have Rowdy Piper's bubblegum soda.
Really?
And there's a picture of him in They Live on the label.
Nice.
That's nice.
Nice. That's pretty cool. All right, our next one is our favorite recurring theme. And I meant to put this in the email I sent out, or if someone has one that I didn't list.
Everybody's.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
No. Well, I know what mine is.
I don't know. Our favorite recurring theme, because the things that keep showing up in the movies we watch, surprisingly, the four options were...
Oh, we have to pick one of those options?
You don't have to pick an option. You can come up with your own, too.
I thought you were just giving suggestions.
Use it again today. Come on. Super duper.
Well, these are suggestions, but... Well, it's a good. Well, okay. The four options I put out were.
I'm not, I think there's others.
How many movies are there? Super duper loop de loopers. I mean, it's
super duper looper.
They do it in this movie that we did today, Howard the Duck. They do it.
If you told me 2 years ago that movie would come up like five more times, I'd be like, no, no way.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the suggestions were super duper looper, Rocket.
I do love Rocket.
Surfing a giant wave under dubious circumstances and shots of Earth from space, which those were some of the suggestions. All right, so let's start with Cody, because Cody's came up with
my favorite recurring theme is M. Night Shyamalan.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Anytime he pops up on
the
show.
He never disappoints.
Yeah.
Every time we see one of his movies, you've done it again.
He's the undisputed master.
Anytime. Yeah. I just love this. Lady in the Water episode is one of my favorites.
Yep.
After Earth was amazing to do.
Our anticipation for After Earth. I mean, I loved our anticipation. Yeah. Like, there wasn't even a question of, like, is this going to be an episode?
No,
it's like, we all knew it. We were all like, yeah, come on. You got it, M. Night. Jack, what do you think?
Two words, Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Nicolas Cage is one of those actors who is fantastic when he's on point, and when he's bad, it's just awesomely bad, and he's just this crazy... character, I guess, in Hollywood, and he's in a lot of these bad movies we've done, and every time, never disappoints.
I could see that. I could see that. Andy, what do you think?
Super duper.
Super duper looper. You can't.
It came up so many times.
I know.
I mean, you can't. Every time, like when it happened, Howard the Duck. I'm like, oh my god, this is fun.
I was so excited when it came up in Howard the Duck. I really
was.
If
it had something to do with that,
I was gonna text you, but I wasn't sure if you'd seen it yet or not, so I didn't want to ruin it for you.
I was like cheering in our house. Yeah. Oh, it was great. Brian, what do you think?
I think Super Duper Looper is my favorite as well. Because like now it's to the point now where every time there's a scene where someone's in a plane or in some flying something, I get like excited that if it's gonna happen or not.
Yeah.
And I have to give a special honorary mention to the classic Mark Wahlberg line from The Happening.
What? No.
Well, as I was saying, we talked about Nicolas Cage for I don't know how long, months or years after we did that. I always say, you know. What's in the bag?
Shark or something? Shark or something? What's in the bag? Shark?
Swiggity swag.
For me, I went with Rocket.
Rocket is
good.
Out of those choices,
that's
Rocket
come,
is my
that's
favorite.
Come, Rocket is good.
That's come when, up again a few times.
When we were in the theater watching Lucy, when that guy said Rocket in French, but yelled at everybody, it's one of my favorite theatrical experiences. With a bunch of people around us having no idea why that's so awesome. Yeah.
And we've also got some good mileage, too, out of the I, Frankenstein apartment.
Yeah.
That's, like, become kind of, like, the base for comparing how nice someone's apartment is or really how bad it is. Like, well, it's not good, but it's not I, Frankenstein.
Or yardling someone.
Yeah, or
yardling.
I forgot about that one. I contemplated putting in the Green Lantern's friend, who's just the character who's there only for exposition purposes, who we've seen come up in a few. All right, the big category, out of 100 episodes, your three favorite episodes. We should say to people, all 100...
Can we pick this one? This is 100.
That would be a very trendy pick. The one we're in right now. All 100 episodes are available at stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. Free downloads of all 100. So a little bit of pressure. who wants to go first with their three favorites. Andy, did you find...
Oh, we're doing three.
Well, or however, you know, I have two, three.
We have a few that haven't been posted yet. One of them is one that I think is one of my favorites that we've recorded, at least in terms of experience.
Well, it will be posted before this one airs.
Yeah, that's true.
Will it be?
If I know...
We gotta hit 100, yeah.
I didn't know
the 97th episode, okay.
I didn't know if we were already at 100. I didn't remember if we were on 99 on
If I understand math.
No, I didn't know if we were 99 and we had two on the can.
Okay, bad. Okay, bad, Jack. It's okay.
This with the one's in the can, and this one will be the 100.
Jack's simmering right now.
I thought that our episode about Winter's Tale was fantastic. There was a lot of laughs.
That was a good one.
We had a good guest. We had a lot of fun talking about it, and we were kind of still buzzing from Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of energy in that podcast. I also, of course, again, it's an easy one, but Wicker Man. I seem to remember the Wicker Man podcast was about, it was early enough when we finally kind of hit our rhythm.
Yep.
And we figured it out and we were going. It was kind of like, you know, the early episodes, we weren't exactly sure how long they were going to be or what was going to be like the theme or whatever. But that one, we're just straight up having a conversation. We had a lot of laughs. That one was a lot of fun too. So I always think of that one fondly. And I also really enjoyed doing the After Earth episode.
That
movie was just so awful. And it's just such. Fire. It was such a fun experience.
Those are fantastic.
That's not from listening to them, but from my recollection
is
being
one?
Here and recording them.
After Earth. Okay. Which is a great.
And those
are
three episodes
one.
That I always think back on, like when it was really, like, because sometimes you know they're all good. It's always fun doing these, but sometimes there's a lot. It's hard to find something to say, or not enough people are here. Sometimes it's just three of us, or.
Oh, it's a direct. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, Andy. Why aren't you here?
He didn't say
when you're not here,
the
tears start streaming down. You gotta. I get all my hopes up, and then you're not here, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks.
Anyway, but nonetheless, those are my
three
favorites.
Those are three great picks. Winter's Tale is going to be
After
an
Earth
all-timer
and,
for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Winter's Tale After
that
Earth.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I wasn't on that one.
Hence why it will be an all-timer. Oh, sorry.
Ergo.
I figured somebody would say you were not. I figured somebody would say the ones that
you
were
not
pick
that one as one of your favorites. Yeah,
right. Cody, what do you think?
I've listened to the 88 minutes episode just a lot of times. It's great. It's just the movie's hilarious, and I think the podcast is great too. Same era, Wading the Water. One of the early episodes. I love Wading the Water.
That's a fantastic one.
And I had a bunch of them, but. I really liked the Lone Ranger episode. I really like doing Lone Ranger.
That was a really hard movie to watch,
but the podcast was fun to do.
That was the epitome of one where I would almost advise people don't watch the movie, just listen to us talk about it.
Just the fist pump alone is just like
And one of my favorite pictures when Alex and I went to see it in the theater. He took a picture of the
theater.
It's like supposed to be the big summer blockbuster of the season. It's like that second week it's out.
Hundreds of empty seats. Yeah.
And surprisingly, when we went to see RIPD, it was a packed theater.
Yeah.
I know. When Alex almost wasn't coming
in. I'm not allowed in. I like scam my way in.
Yeah. That was awesome.
All right, Andrew Wolf. Everyone's curious. Your three favorite episodes.
I thought it was only two. But I got.
Well, you can do two. You can do
no,
two.
No, I'm gonna do three.
There's only 150, so why don't we?
I know what you're saying. There's a lot of them. It's like, you know, he said Wicker Man has all these great ones, but it was called something.
It was called something. That is.
It was the Christmas one. It was called
Black Christmas.
Black Christmas.
It was called something. Boy, you didn't give us a lot to work with there.
You got it. So we went from every movie being in play with it's called something to only two movies being in play with it's a Christmas movie. Yeah.
Black Christmas, right?
Yes.
Black Christmas. Yes.
Yes.
No, that one was.
That was a funny one.
I remember having a lot of fun with that one and being funny. Santa Claus the movie. I don't know.
That's a really funny one.
It was funny. It I think that.
I think our realization in Santa Claus the movie about how horribly Santa's treating that homeless kid is really one of my favorite things. Like we've come.
And you start right at the beginning with somebody dying. I mean, you know.
Speaking of the Christmas funny. Ones too, though, Jack Frost last year was a lot of fun.
Jack Frost.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah.
The third one was.
This is another Christmas one.
No, I think it was going to be a Halloween one. No. Third one was. Jeez, I don't know so many. Lady in the Water.
That's
I remember
funny.
Just having a. I mean, and you
that
know,
like
I've never listened to one podcast yet, but I just remember have a good time. Just a lot of good jokes, a lot of laughs on that one.
That's a good one.
Now that we're 100 episodes in, you should probably listen to one.
I want to listen to one soon. Yeah, somebody's got to show me how to do it.
Yeah, it's on the internet.
I don't understand. You have an iPod.
Yeah.
I know.
Someone's got to show me how to do it. Do you have Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
And a keyboard?
The big E thing, right?
Yeah, what you do is you go www.aol.com. Yeah, then go into the search engine feature.
Search Google.
Search Google.
Uh-huh.
Go to search Google. In Google, search "Stop the movie, I want to get out."
Uh-huh.
And then probably the first page that comes up, you can find. Then you just have to press play on them there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
You can download them too.
Oh wait, if you need one of those discs to like an AOL disc, floppy. I have one of those trial
discs.
What
about floppy?
I have a four of them in my mailbox. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from the man who has figured out how to watch movies in the car on his laptop.
Yeah, on the way to the podcast. Yes.
What movie did you do
End
that
of Days.
End of Days.
Yes.
Yeah, which you finished as we were recording the episode. That's one of my favorite moments in a podcast.
No, didn't you not make it to the end?
I didn't make the end.
You didn't make
the end.
No,
you
did.
You watched
it. He's watching
it while
we're recording.
That's one of my favorite podcast moments is 10 minutes in the episode with him going, okay, I finished it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's true.
That's a really funny one to listen to. I'll do mine. We'll let Brian go last. My three favorites, I'm going to go with Halloween 3. Halloween 3 is maybe my favorite episode. It's one that I always oftentimes recommend to people. It's a recent one, but Lucy.
I wish I'd seen that movie.
Lucy
I'd gotten to see
it. It's so crazy, and somehow, like, in talking about it, like Sal was great on that. And
makes
it just,
less sense.
Yeah, it got even crazier when we tried to break it down. My other favorite episode, I think, might be Alex Cross. It's funny all the way through. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a terrible, terrible movie, that one was a lot of fun to do. All right, Brian, what do you?
I enjoyed our Wicker Man one as well.
Yeah.
Because that just had so many great catchphrases and the whole.
You got a guy in a bear suit punching somebody. You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage's just rant against womanhood.
Yeah.
88 minutes. I was all. I mean, that's
it's amazing.
Enough said.
It's 88 minutes. Yeah.
And top form. I really liked our tiptoes one.
Yeah. So
mad I missed that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tim,
especially since I sat through the movie and then I didn't get to.
I know. I know. Well, Tim Ferlito, who's always funny, and he is like to say that is our funniest episode with Tim Ferlito says a lot because Tim Ferlito is always funny when he's
the
on.
The Jaws 4 episode is great too. With Tim.
That one's great too. Yeah. That's that was a contender. And just as a bonus, I almost threw in Sliver. Sliver is one of our most downloaded episodes.
Really?
Sliver.
Yeah.
I was considering that.
Oh, nice.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't. I was a little surprised by that.
I think
it wasn't that big of a movie when it came out, was it?
No.
I wonder if there's like some kind of like an underground following of the movie that we're unaware of.
Maybe. It is pretty legendarily bad, so maybe that's it.
Terminal Velocity was fun, too.
Oh, God, yes. Terminal Velocity.
That one's good. The way great James Gandolfini in a role that defies any logic or comprehension.
Yep, yeah.
And we should, on our 100th episode, so many people to thank. I mean, I think we'd love to thank all the guest hosts who have come in. Tim Ferlito, always fantastic. Doris Scheidel, who's come in for multiple episodes.
You know who's a really good guest host is Andy Wolf.
Andy Wolf,
whenever he can make
it. Here.
Yeah. 50 of them I've been in now.
Yep. You've been in almost.
I'm almost a regular.
I feel like a few more and you'll have been on as many as Nick Neward.
Nick
Neward, who's fantastic. Yeah. Katie Corrado, who did a few. Sal Mineen, who's
great,
amazing. We're going to have him back in soon. I mean, we can't list them all, but fantastic people who've come in. We've done 100. We've done 100 episodes. That's five people summed up.
We've got a few more. We've got a few more, maybe.
And really would thank all the people who've contributed on our Facebook page. I know there's Max Winters, Taylor Weinman, Eric David, Leo Logan. We're missing a bunch of other people. I couldn't even start to do some of the people who have done stuff with us on Twitter. Yeah. But we appreciate all of that. Makes it all possible. And we definitely, most of all, should be thanking Cody Wolf, who makes every episode possible.
Oh,
it is.
There would be
no podcast.
I'm glad
Cody.
I bore him.
That's true.
You do bore me.
That might have been the best thing you've done for this podcast. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. And Cody, who not only gets each podcast on the web, but also saved us from the great podcast meltdown of 2012, where we had to completely rebuild our podcast stream. So
dark times.
Yeah, we would have
better for it.
Yes. We made it through.
We made it through. We survived. And now on to our next 100 episodes.
Or 50.
Or 50. And your next 50.
50 out of 100.
Yeah. When we're at episode 200, you'll recap your past 100 episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Celebrate your 100.
Yeah. Yeah. Celebrate your 100.
We'll see you in 2 years.
Yeah.
For your 100. Yeah. We'll make your birthday cake and use it to find a flashlight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it has been a fantastic ride, and yeah, we have so many more funny movies to come. As always,
are we ever going to do a musical episode where we all just sing? Are we going to review a musical?
We haven't jumped a shark yet, but
we haven't done that. Well,
but we have done Sharknado.
We have done Sharknado. Yeah. Yes. We've done two movies that involve people jumping over sharks.
Or into them.
Or into their mouth. Yeah. You can like us on Facebook. Jack does a fantastic job updating the Facebook page. On Twitter at Wind Up Films. I think that brings us to a close. The 100th episode.
What a celebration that was!
Yes. Wow. Hey, we had Andy Wolf here. That makes it special. Yeah.
Andy brought combos and candy corn.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thanks.
Can we say a product on there like
that?
Corn's not really a product.
Well, no, the other one was.
Well, I think it's pretty. We're not saying you're sponsored by combos. You are actually sponsored by combos, I think, aren't you? And Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Yeah, your Pepsi fuels you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diet Pepsi now.
Oh, okay.
Like, sure.
Yeah. He's like, I think we should each get an endorsement deal, and we should drop a plant. No, that would cheapen it.
I would love if this podcast was endorsed by Coke, just so that we could tell Andy he couldn't drink Pepsi anymore.
That'd be it.
That would be it. You're that loyal to a soda.
Yep.
Well, okay.
You're barely on it now.
Yeah.
We just push him over there.
Yeah. He'd be like, that's it. That's the last straw. All right. Well, we will be back next time. As always, you can find all the episodes on stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com.
Write that down, Andy.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. We look forward to many, many more.
Happy holidays.
Well, this probably will be.
We will air after the holidays.
No, actually, I think... It probably will be posted on Christmas Day.
See?
Very timely. Oh. Wow. Very timely.
Bells
hang. If you're listening to it after Christmas, you're wondering why we said that, who knows?
Can we say Christmas on podcast?
Oh, my God. Man.
Oh, God. Are you going to start a war on Christmas?
I just want to be politically correct, that's all.
Yes, because that's what you're known for.
Is that why you're looking into Jeffrey Jones earlier so you can make some...
I want to make some jokes, but he wouldn't let me. Like, no children were harmed in the movie, making this movie. Well, they had kids on the set and the little ducks.
We're still recording, you know. This is still part of the episode.
Poor Jeffrey Jones.
Oh, yeah, poor Jeffrey Jones.
All right.
Oh. See ya.